All right, 2 Peter 1, verse 2. After that, we move on to the usual salutation sent to believers. This is how this one's worded. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Grace, of course, the standard word, charis, irene, peace, be multiplied. Important to know the original languages. Because if you translate this, what you should put in front of the word grace is may, M-A-Y, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. It's a potential. Believers have to do what they got to do to have this multiplication factor going on in their life. They can't be in other words, it's not going to happen automatically. They got to do their part for the multiplication of grace and peace. So they would be translated, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. The word to multiply, aorist optative again, is plethuno, which means to multiply. Here, 1 Peter 1, 2, and Jude 2. We're doing Jude next, but I'm ahead of myself. In the knowledge of God, this is how it happens. It just doesn't come out of thin air. It isn't just, because you're a nice guy. I mean, yeah, you need to be a nice guy, obviously. You can't be corrupt in your lifestyle and your approach to things and expect that grace and peace are going to be multiplied to you. And it's in the knowledge. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In the knowledge is the preposition with our super word for knowledge. You know what it is by now, don't you? Epinosis. There's just gnosis, that's knowledge. Epinosis heightens it. And epinosis doctrine is doctrine that the believer has taken in under the function of gap and cycled, so to speak. In other words, stored in your brain computer. Okay. Again, verse 2 on page 6. This is Peter's wish for them. He can't make it happen. They've got to do their part. So if you want grace and peace to be multiplied in your life, notice this. Well, grace and peace are just words. What's that supposed to mean? So the translation is, again, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. The multiplication factor. How do you do that? In the knowledge, epinosis, of God and of Jesus our Lord. This is his wish for these believers out there that he has never met, but he has got reports. He's got solid reports. They had a way in history, people have a way of getting information around. They had to have these systems before we had technology. And I can text you and say, hi, how you doing today? See? Before that, what do they have? They had couriers. They had a kind of a, like a, back in American history, the Pony Express, carrying letters and stuff all around. And, we still had big cities. And then, of course, when we got transportation, like cars and trucks, then, of course, we can move stuff around. And then we get TV and telephones, and we can get going with this stuff. Now, it's instantaneous. I can talk to someone way out there if I want to. I can greet the believer, the pastor of the church in Togo, West Africa. There are the pictures all over our bulletin board, on one of our bulletin boards. Ben Bonney evangelized, not with the gospel, he was already, but evangelized by one of our members back in the day, out on an oil rig in Oman. Oh, that was, no, that's Vincent Thomas. Excuse me, I got him switched. That's the fellow from southern India, Vincent Thomas. He was on the oil rig. He was a believer, reformed version of Christianity. Well, get my picture up there. The reformed version of Christianity, and he and this person that was in my church handed him cassettes. He went and listened to him. He came back to him. He says, "That man speaks the truth." He clicked right out of it. One in a million. It's probably more than that. It had a ring to it. I got a verse. I'll look it up for you. It's in John. It's in John. Those that are positive, that's not the way it's written, but the deal is, those that are positive, they come into the light. And when they get it, they get it. It hits them. And they sense it immediately. Because you see, they've been looking. They've been dissatisfied. They're not content in some, you know, let's go to church, sing a few songs, and get a sermonette for Christianettes. That's supposed to be funny. back to the greeting. Verse 2. The greeting is in three parts. The author, the recipients, and the optative of wish. He wishes this for them. We find the optative of wish in 1 Peter and Jude. Grace refers specifically to grace orientation, as it is connected with the knowledge, epinosis of God, and of Jesus our Lord. We need grace for every day of our life. We want to multiply that factor. This isn't going to be easy necessarily for me to explain. But grace orientation, you grow in grace. You develop capacity for grace. Yeah, it's a five-letter word, but what does it mean? And how does it relate? And how does it fit for different things? 4. The same aspect of grace is found at the end of the letter in the command, grow in grace and knowledge. We just have gnosis. Gnosis is, you come to Bible class. That's your primary way of getting information. You can augment, read your Bible, go to our webpage, look at a doctrine. I might have mentioned a doctrine. I'm going to review that. Doctrine of Divine Essence. You do a lot worse with your time. But this is your primary. This is where it all launched off of. Without this, that wouldn't exist. And your ability to read your Bible with any understanding would be pretty frustrating. Because you need explanation. Anybody can read these words, but what's the meaning? How do I get involved in this multiplication factor? How can I get grace and peace multiplied in my life? Well, it says here, the more knowledge you get, the more you have this aspect going for you. Peter's wish is that the recipients expand their capacity for God's grace. Capacity for grace. For some people, grace just goes so far. And then beyond that, no. Now we're talking about, we already saw the phrase, the true grace of God. Stand in the true grace of God. Not to the right or to the left. Not to legalism or antinomianism, liberalism. Those are two extremes of grace. Does grace apply to this person who's in this situation? Yeah, and ask yourself the question. Yeah. None of these great believers you read in your Bible would be where they were if it wasn't for grace. Because they made some big mistakes and big sins. You go, well, we're going to cover those up. No, we're not. If God recorded what they did and they got past that and moved on, they got grace. You know, The peace refers to inner peace. Now we have positional peace. We're not on the enmity side of God with regard to the afterlife. We've got that. We've got that peace. That's settled when we believed in Christ. But we're talking about peace, inner peace, sometimes referred to as RMA, relaxed mental attitude about things. Now you got to grow to get in that, because people easily get all wrapped up about something. If things don't go like they want them to go, when they want them to go, they can get really beside themselves. And it's not healthy. And it's almost like, I've been guilty too. If I point my finger, I've got a thumb pointing back at me. But we have been promised this inner peace. Well, how do you activate it? Well, one, you got to be in fellowship. You got to do some praying. And maybe you have to work your way to that point where you can accept the situation as it exists today. Jesus told us about tomorrow. Oh, Monday. Oh, tomorrow's a holiday. So, okay. I got this coming up and all the rest of it. Okay. So you do. I know what it is in my Christian life to have peace about something that would otherwise have me distraught, maybe in an extreme upset, whatever. John 14:26. Jesus is here talking about the advent, we'll call it that, the advent of the Holy Spirit. In a special way, in a new dispensation. Now, these disciples can't understand that. They couldn't even be expected to, because the nature of this dispensation was hidden. Only that there would be a new people of God that would take up the responsibility of representing God before men, where Israel had fallen on its face, its collective face. Exceptions, wonderful ones existed. 12 apostles. So he's saying, he said, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. How much of it do you think percentage-wise they really got? Those young guys. Oh, they were enthusiastic. He's the Messiah. Yeah. I'll die for you. Blah, 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 blah. Peter and all his stuff. Okay. How much do you think these young guys actually... They heard Jesus from his own mouth talk. But that didn't guarantee that they were on top of the game. They weren't. So they proved it. And another prophecy in the Old Testament was fulfilled. That when Jesus was taken, arrested, they're going to run for cover. All of his close associates. They weren't even there for moral support. That happens. You know, but obviously they God graces people out. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. So the ultimate teacher of any doctrine you and I learn, the Holy Spirit was involved. Through a communicator, of course. He doesn't just talk to you. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Because all that would have just, a lot of that, most of that would have just dropped out. So the Holy Spirit down the road after Jesus is out of here and they're on their own, he's going to give them perfect recall. And so what do we got? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We got the recall for those four authors of four Gospels under divine inspiration. So that's all been preserved beautifully. Then we have peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. Not as the cosmos gives to you, do I give to you. The cosmos, you can have a relaxed mental attitude. You can be happy and things are going swimmingly, use a British term. One thing can upset that little mode real quick and drive it down. Bad news. Something can turn that over in a second. But when you're on top of things doctrinally, even bad news and difficult things, you can have peace about. God's got this. We say it all the time, but we don't practice it like we should all the time. He's got this under control. What is your focus? To go through one more day, get through the next one, and get to the Bema in good order. Whether you die or whether you get raptured. The only thing I have with regard to the rapture happening this year, not to give you a downer, but they don't have that temple up yet. And that temple isn't something you can just has a prefab building, you run out here and put it up real quick. And no, this is on the scale of those temples of old. I mean, the stones. I saw a truck in Israel when we were over there carrying one of the stones, a big flatbed truck, cut perfectly square. I don't know how many tons that darn thing weighed. They were parading it around as a kind of an advertisement, stirring up interest in, we got to get this temple, we got to get this temple. And I sent the video to a number of people to show you how they got all the stuff that is in the temple, from the utensils up the ladder, the uniforms of the priests, the color of the curtains, you know, the three big pieces of furniture in the holy place, the lampstand, the table of incense, and the table of bread. The curtains, they got all this ready. I'm wondering where they're going to build it. They've got two mosques sitting up there on that fake Mount Sinai, Temple Mount site. That is not where that temple was of Jesus' day. Because Jesus said there won't be one stone left on top of another. Now, if I tell you that, that means literally you can't find two stones attached, or it's not fulfilled literally. The Romans leveled that thing to the very foundation. You can go in to do some reading as to why did they go to that trouble. They can take the temple over by sending a bunch of soldiers in there and stealing everything out of it, which they did, and they can do all that. Well, why do they feel they need to do that? It's a lot of work. I read that their commander, Titus, later emperor, General Titus, he didn't want them doing it. He had a certain regard for the building. Not the kind that, you know, but he had a certain regard for it, respect, if you will. They did it anyway. They fulfilled Jesus' words, his prophetic word, that not one stone would be left on another. So all the Jews that line up there on the Wailing Wall, and they put their little scripture written in the cracks of the rocks, and they're bowing like this. They're bowing before the Roman fortress, Antonia, which no self-respecting Jew back in the day would go in there. Unless they wanted to go in and talk to Pilate to kill Jesus. They wouldn't go in there because they'd be defiled. It was a city that housed Roman soldiers. Had all the things soldiers want. Women, booze, love it. So that isn't it. Up there where those two mosques are, built in about the 7th century, when the religion of Muhammad came into existence, it didn't pre-exist that. It was with him that this religion and this worship of Allah and everything, you know, you're kind of late, aren't you, getting around to this? I'm mocking the stupids. And so they built this mosque up there. They said that Muhammad died and left on a horse and went to heaven. So anyway, There's two mosques up there. The one with the gold lid on it, and then the other funky looking one. I went into the one with the gold lid on it. There was some kind of a stone there, a piece of rough stone, that people were treating like an idol. They had it cordoned off. You know what where I was standing? That's where Jesus stood before Pilate, and the soldiers whipped him. That's right what that was. I was right there. You can go to a lot of places, but when you go to places that have biblical significance, like in the land of Israel, and know what you're doing, and not get caught up with some fake stuff. Because I had this one guy gave Brenda and I a tour of the old city. I mean, it's a maze. All these little through here. So he's gonna walk us through it. And he said to us, "Do you want to see the real sites or the fake ones?" I said both. So, the Temple Mount, Jews, Christians, Muslims, all think this is a sacred site. Nah. It's the remains of the Roman fortress Antonia. The temple was south of it, about 2 football fields south of it. And now it's a grassy, covered with grass. That's where the real temple was. So I don't know where they're going to build it. Because it has to serve the whole, it's got to be in existence from the onset of the tribulation, is my understanding. And the Jews will start their ancient sacrifices, just like in the Old Testament, for 3.5 years. And then the Antichrist they'll make a deal with him and put his AI in the most holy place and defile it, the abomination of desolation. Whenever the holiest of holy places, see that third area, only the high priest could go in. He could only go in once a year. And there's where the Ark of the Covenant is. I wonder where that thing is. Are there some Jews that know where the original Ark of the Covenant is? I don't think it went out of existence like these other pieces of furniture, and they had to rebuild them. I think they know where it's buried. God's preserved it. He preserved it during the Babylonian captivity. So when they came back to the land, what's the first thing they did? Because they couldn't rebuild their city, because the Persians, you can't rebuild a city. But you can build the temple, your place of worship. And they had to do that with a sidearm, because they were being attacked by some of these people that come in there. And they built that temple. This time, it's the other way around. They get in the land, they get well established, modern society, and the temple comes last. But whenever a sanctuary, the most holy place, was defiled, the temple that was built after the captivity, it was defiled by a Greek by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, the tyrant. He went in there and he put the temple, he put the idol, the chief god of the Greeks, Zeus, and spread pig's blood around in there. Okay, even if you clean all that out, you can't use it anymore. It's been ceremonially defiled. You have to start over. Build an all new one. So we have a book back there in the library, The Temples That Jerusalem Forgot. It's the only ones they say. They call this one coming up the third temple. No, there's a couple others. I think when the total number is seen, and that has to include the New Jerusalem and the city, which is a temple, there will be 7 historically. The most short-lived one is the one that we're waiting for the Jews to build to serve through the trib. Once the second advent occurs, they will trash that abomination of desolation artificial intelligence thing that's a spitting image of Alexander the Great, and they'll tear the temple down and they'll build a millennial one because it's been defiled. And it isn't something that soap and water can clean up. It's the idea that this was in there. Because that most holy place represents the third heaven. Hence, only the high priest could go in there, and only once a year. And he had to go through a double curtain so that none of the light in here shines in here. And inside that, the original temple of Solomon, this glory of God came down, filled the whole place. And then, you like my sound effects? It went and confined itself to this cube, the most holy place. So what otherwise been a totally dark place, was there was no shadows. It was all lit up. The glory of God. It's called the Shekinah glory. It's what lit up our earth until we got our sun. And about D+5, I could be or D+4. You know, when we got our sun and moon and stars, we got our plants first. One day, okay, but still it's first. We got all the plant life, all the variety of plants that are everywhere, from mosses to big old trees to you name it. Food items, pretty plants, ugly plants, all these plants. Water plants, land plants. We got it one day. And the Shekinah glory is the light for those days. Until you set in place the sun, moon, and stars. For all the sun worshippers in human history. That doesn't go with your science books. I see this stuff all the time, don't I? Scientists have discovered, I gulp, God has turned them over to reprobate mind. They're impressed with the stuff they make up. Supposedly there's a couple people up there trapped in the space station. They've been advertising this for weeks on my deal. I said they'd be dead by now. You can't manufacture air. We want to rescue them. This keeps everybody hypnotized. I'm off subject. Story of my life, huh? One of them. Not as the world gives you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be fearful. Take those words home with you. Don't let your STA get you by the throat and get you all upset. If it happens, it's for your good. That's why we walk by faith. And cast our cares on the Lord and do what we can do. And beyond that, not run around in tight little circles and get all worked up and all the things people do when they are not getting what they want or it's difficult. Our Lord was not put on this earth so nothing would touch him. No problems. Well, they never did lay a hand on him until they arrested him. And Judas came up to him and put a kiss on his cheek and betrayed him. Fulfilled a prophecy. That he'd be betrayed by one of his closest associates. That's a lot of fun. That's really fun. To be betrayed by someone who is close to you. And you think they're one thing. Of course, he knew. He knew when he picked Judas. He picked Judas. You say, why would he pick an unbeliever? Because there was a prophecy that said one of them would be not even a believer. So he had to fulfill the prophecy. So he knew what this guy was going to do to him. Can you imagine if you knew this person was going to do this awful thing to you, that you could treat him like they... He did. Let it redound on their head. No. John 16:33. So I can teach this till I'm blue in the face. This, you want to have inner peace? You have to do your part on my part. These things I have spoken to you so that in me, that's positional sanctification, union with Christ, right there. The doctrine had not been explained yet. This would have to come after Pentecost, but he's anticipating, he's a prophet. So that in me, you may have peace. There's your optative again, potentiality. In this world, you have tribulation. But take courage. I've overcome the world. The world didn't win, and it won't with you either. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.